Well, please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 is where we're going to start. Today's Sunday, March the 9th, 2025. Last week we looked at a few scriptures that shows the dramatic and monumental change that happens when a person gets born again. We noted that the church epistles clearly show where we were before we got born again and who we are now as born again ones. We didn't look at all the verses pertaining to this wonderful topic, but the ones we did look at were quite amazing. If you were here, if you weren't here, it's available on the website. When we have a right understanding of God's word, we can be absolutely sure that whatever God said was, whatever God says is, and whatever God says will be. And I bring that up because we ended last week looking at those verses in 1 Corinthians 15 about the gathering together when the born again ones will meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that event is just one of the future events that will be, that will happen. And this morning, we're going to do a very brief review of the end times. And a number of reasons I'm doing this is because it's really common today to hear people talk about the end times. And in the Gospels, Jesus Christ spoke a number of times about the judgments coming in the future. And there's two really important points to consider when you read those records in the Gospels, when Jesus Christ talked about the time of judgments and the signs that will be before that happens, the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, all that stuff that you read in the Gospels. There's two really important points to remember when we read those. So we're going to start in Matthew 24. We're not going to read all of Matthew 24. The first thing Jesus Christ said about it in verse 4 was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Said that more than once about this particular topic. Be careful that you don't get deceived concerning the end times. But it's interesting in verse 36 of Matthew 24. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And he was speaking, context-wise in this section, of the end times. If you would look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, again speaking about the end times, when the judgments will come, in Mark, chapter 13, verse 32, "But of that day," we're in Mark 13, 32, "but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So nobody, not even Jesus Christ, knows when that is going to come to pass, the time of judgments and so forth. No one knows. One more, look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is right before Jesus Christ ascended. Actually, mere moments before he ascended. In Acts chapter 1, you know, he was telling them, get ready, not many days hence you're going to receive the promise of the Father, Holy Spirit. And verse 6 of Acts 1 says, "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Are we there? Is it the end times? Verse 7, "He said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Jesus Christ, speaking for God, as he always did, stated clearly that no one knows when except the Father. So that's the first point that's very important to remember in reading in the Gospels when Jesus Christ talked about judgment time, that no one knows. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. The second point to remember when you read in the Gospels about the judgments, the second point to remember is that what Jesus Christ spoke about in the Gospels regarding the judgments is not the same event as the gathering together when we meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, which we read about in the church epistles, right? You can read the whole Old Testament, including the Gospels, and not find anything about the gathering together that's talked about in the church epistles, where the believers exit, depart from this earth, meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, and so shall we ever be. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the Gospels either. You do read about, in the Old Testament and the Gospels, the judgments coming. Oh yeah, you definitely read about those, but not the gathering together. So before we go any further, let's just stop for a second and remember what we looked at last week. God in his word said that born-again believers are now righteous, justified, all trespasses forgiven, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Not only are we now fellow citizens and in the household of God as children of God, but we have been reconciled. We read that last week. Remember that? Reconciled, meaning no longer separated. We've been reconciled, and we have been given eternal life. We didn't really hit on it much last week because obviously a fellowship like this, you can't hit every single right, privilege, and ability that we have as born-again believers. But I think we saw a verse where it said we've been redeemed. And what does redeemed mean? Bought and paid for. Those three things, reconciled, eternal life, and redeemed, are really important put up against what Jesus Christ talked about in the Gospels. We're reconciled. We're no longer separated. We have eternal life. It says in Thessalonians, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we've been bought and paid for. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. So, keeping that in mind, are you in Matthew 13? Okay. One of the parables about the coming judgments that Jesus taught about was the tares growing up with the wheat. And in the parable, it was like, no, don't pull out the tares now. You'll upset the wheat. Let's wait till the harvest. And when the harvest comes, we'll take care of the tares. And later, and we're going to read this in Matthew 13. We're not going to read the parable, but later, the disciples said, tell us about the parable of the wheat and tares. What was that about? How wise they were. A lot of people guess about the end times. They went to Jesus and said, what does that mean? Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 37. This is right after they asked him, declare unto us the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13, 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What a great explanation of that parable. But with the context, he's speaking of the end times, right? There are two other similar parables that are in the Gospels that Jesus Christ spoke along these same lines. One was the shepherd with the sheep and the goats. And the goats were separated out from the sheep. Bye-bye, goats. The other was the net that caught a whole bunch of fish, and they separated out the bad fish, gone, kept the good fish. So in all three of those, we see a separation, right? The bad from the good, that separation. Those parables were concerning the time of the coming judgments. There is no way born-again believers will be involved in those judgments. There's no way. You know why? Well, we either are who God says we are or we're not. We either are what the church epistles say or we're not. We're righteous. We're justified. All trespasses forgiven, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Fellow citizens of the household of God, children of God. And God said we've been reconciled. So if we're reconciled, how can we be separated? We've been reconciled unto God. No longer separated. How can we possibly be subjected to separation if we've been reconciled? How could we be cast away if we have eternal life? How could we be just chucked out if we're already bought and God owns us? Let's say that in the epistles, you are bought with a price, right? We're redeemed. Oh my goodness. So when you read the Gospels about the end times that Jesus Christ spoke about, including the signs, these signs shall, you know, and then he talked about there will be wars and rumors of wars and there'll be this going on and plagues. And all. When you read that, including the judgments, he was not talking about the signs preceding the gathering together, but rather the signs preceding judgments. And how many Christians do you hear? I heard it just last Wednesday. We're getting closer, you know, all this stuff going on in the world, the war in Ukraine and all these fires and then the floods and then this and that, we're getting closer. As if there haven't been any of that for the last 2,000 years. But see, why do they say that? Because that's what they've been taught. That's what they've heard. We're getting closer. That's not what the Gospels are talking about, the gathering together. And we'll see even a little further here. Romans 5, I think we looked at this last week. See, what Jesus Christ talked about in the Gospels will happen sometime after the gathering together. In Romans 5, 9, it says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Well, how about that? The wrath's referring to the judgments. We're saved from the wrath. Well, isn't that a good thing? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 1, that's a fascinating topic. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, I don't remember, we may have read this last week too. It says, and to wait for His Son from heaven. That's what we're doing, aren't we? We're waiting. And the reason we're waiting is because we know it's going to happen. One day, boom. And as it says in Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, bam. We're just up there. You know? It's not going to be... Remember when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven? They watched Him go up. And then it says, out of their sight. So He didn't go up like a rocket ship. It was just... not us at the gathering. Moment, twinkling of an eye, we're gone. It's probably a good thing. We might be tempted on the way up. to say things or throw a brick at somebody. God, boom, it's just going to happen, twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Wrath, judgments, they're coming someday. But we've been delivered from the wrath to come. And if you look at chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Us is the born-again ones. That's what the church epistles are about. They're our mail, our scriptures. Not that we exclude the others, but this is personal. This is personal. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Together with him, not separated. We're going to live together with him. How can we live together with him if we're going to be subjected to separation? It doesn't make sense, does it? No. And you know the end of, in chapter 4, verse 17, it says, so shall we ever be. Let's read that chapter. Back up to chapter 4. And we'll go to verse 13 to begin. Very familiar, right? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. God didn't want us stupid about people that died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, what a great comfort that is. We're not going to have to go through the judgments. That's a beautiful thing. So here's a good question then. Why did Jesus Christ never mention this event that we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4? Why did he never talk about it? The Old Testament scriptures indicate that following the redemption, the Savior, the Messiah, there's going to be judgments. The judgments would come. It's all prophesied that the Savior would come, the Savior of mankind, the Messiah. When he would complete the work, after that, judgments come. Right? Yeah, that's what you read in the Old Testament. There are a number of references in the Old Testament referring to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is when the Lord, Jesus Christ, will do the judging. So there's all that prophecy about the day of the Lord, judgments coming. Well, if you can do math, Jesus Christ completed his work and ascended around 2,000 years ago. Where's the judgment? Hadn't happened, right? The reason why is because God had a plan. The scripture tells us no one knew about this plan, and it's called the mystery. And it's a time period that nobody knew about, that God planned to have a time period of his grace. And in the scriptures, it's called, this time period is called the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. This event that we just read about in 1 Thessalonians 4 is part of the great mystery that God kept secret until it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. The day of judgment and the gathering together are not the same event. And Jesus Christ didn't know about the mystery because it hadn't been revealed to anyone yet. And Scripture tells us that God kept it secret. He's the only one that knew about it. Jesus Christ didn't even know about the exact time of the judgments, right? He said, no man knows, not even the angels, not even the Son. But he didn't know about what we just read about in Thessalonians because that's part of the mystery. Jesus Christ clearly said no one knows when the time of judgments will come, and that time of judgment is often referred to, and we'll see it here in a minute, it's often referred to as the day of the Lord. So look at 2 Thessalonians now, not too far away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read these verses carefully, all right? They're beautiful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, we beg you, we lovingly implore you, brethren. And this loving encouragement is by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. We lovingly beseech you by the hope that we have of Christ's return. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In the King James, it says day of Christ. In the Stephen's Greek text, it is the word Christ. But in all of the other critical Greek texts, it's the word Lord. So accurately, this would be not soon shaken by word, letter, as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. And how often do you hear that? You hear it all the time. It's time. The judgments are coming. I can see the signs that Jesus talked about. He said this, this, and this. Don't you think we're getting closer? Sometimes people ask that question. That's what a lady at the retirement center asked me on Wednesday. Do you think we're getting closer? They must have had problems back then too. Why would he be writing this? Don't get shook up that the day of the Lord is at hand. And then verse 3, let no man deceive you. Gee, what did Jesus Christ say concerning the end times? Take heed that no man deceives you. So it says, let no man deceive you by any means, no matter who they are. For that day, what day? Day of the Lord, when the Lord does the judging. That day shall not come except there come a falling away. And a much better translation of falling away is departure. Except there come a departure first. We're gone. And not only that, the departure, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That departure is the gathering together. This tells us that first is the departure, then the man of sin, son of perdition, revealed, then the judgment time's coming. Isn't that interesting? So in the Gospels, when Jesus Christ talked about the signs of the judgment's coming and when he would judge, and these are the signs, the wars, the plagues, and all those things, you know, the separating the good from the bad and all that stuff, all of that happens after we leave. And isn't it interesting to think about, Jesus Christ is going to be doing the judging, and we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it looks like we're going to have a ringside seat at the judgments. We're going to be with the Lord, sitting with our big brother, with eternal life. No separation for us. We're already reconciled. We've been given eternal life. We're bought with a price. Go to 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5. I think that most of you know that when the scriptures were originally written, there were no chapters. You know, God giving Paul revelation, he finished in chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then God said, all right, let's do a chapter here. Let's call it, where are we at, Paul? Oh, chapter 5. No, it was just straight through. So, knowing that, context, gathering together in chapter 4, We get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly. The only way they could have known is if someone taught them. Who do you think taught them? Paul did when he was there. Paul was in Thessalonica, then he went to Berea, then he went down to Athens. From Athens, he went to Corinth. When he's in Corinth, he sent the first letter to the folks in Thessalonica. You, at the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you for, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Paul told them about the gathering together in this, his first epistle to them. And now he's telling them, there's no sense in me writing any of this stuff to you. Yeah, the day of the Lord's going to come and going to be a big shock to everybody, but we're not a part of that. We're not children of darkness. We're children of light. So Paul told them about the gathering together and that in this first epistle. What did he tell them in the second epistle that we just read a bit ago? Don't let anyone deceive you concerning the day of the Lord. There must have been a reason, right? There must have been stuff going on. Hey, I think judgment's coming. No. First, there's a falling away, the departure. Then, son of perdition revealed. Then, the day of the Lord comes. So, verse 6. Therefore, seeing you know all this stuff, right? Therefore, well, what should we do? Freak out, because it might be judgment time. I've seen wars going on. Ukraine and Russia is happening. There have been fires in Los Angeles burned to the ground. The storms in North Carolina. It's got to be the end times. There's just too much going on, don't you think? Are we close? Therefore, let us not sleep, meaning be unaware, as others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope. Oh my goodness. We have this great hope of the gathering together because verse 9 says, we read it earlier, God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Well, that'd be the opposite of freaking out that judgment's coming and wrath and the angels are going to be snatching people and separating and doing all this stuff. Nope, we just live in peace. And what are we doing? We're waiting. We're waiting. So the church epistles really magnificently declare all that we've received from God in the new birth. Page after page, there's so much in there about who we really are, what we really have. And that includes not having to go through wrath. We read those verses. Those epistles also show us what we're waiting for, what will be. And there's lots in the church epistles about that pertain to the gathering together, not just 1 Thessalonians 4 or 1 Corinthians 15. There's lots in there. And they show us what we're waiting for, like we read in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Isn't that awesome? And it's only ignorance of what's revealed in the church epistles that rob Christians of who they are, their rights, privileges, and abilities. Ignorance of what's in the church epistles that robs people of the real hope that we have. I'm not scared of the wrath and the judgments coming. Are you? If you are, read some more in the Bible. If you haven't seen it, this is the student study guide for the advanced class. It's about 1,300 pages. And I'm showing you that because in this big book, there are a number of appendices. And appendix number 6 is entitled The Day of the Lord and a Falling Away. And before the advanced class ever came out, for those that were on the mailing list there from Word Promotions, Reverend Geer sent out this appendix 6. And so the information's available, and I personally have reviewed this 30-page work on this topic about 7 times. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying, why? Why do we review things, a specific topic, so that we get it set in our head and so that I can see it from the Scriptures? Right? That's what we do. We don't go, yeah, the gathering together comes before the judgments. Well, how do you know that? Well, that's what Mike said in fellowship. That's what Reverend Geer says. Who cares what I say? Who cares what... What does God's Word say? So when you review a topic and review it, it gets settled in your heart and mind. And that keeps you from being talked out of it, like they were in Galatia, when Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel. What the heck's going on there? Who's deceiving you? So, you know, we get solid in a lot of things so that we can keep the truth and not get talked out of it, and that we are on real solid ground to help other people, where we can say, well, look, let me just show you in the Bible. You know, you could take people into the Bible and show them, look, this is what God's Word says. And say, so-and-so said it. I was telling Missy, I don't know, was that this morning or yesterday or something? The first time I took the class and learned about the others crucified with the Lord Jesus, and I thought, wow, this was cool, it was great. And about a year later, I don't know which gospel I was reading, and I was going, wait a minute, this looks like there was, yeah, but I remember in the class, and I was like, so I went, I need to stop and go through each gospel and see it in the Scriptures. Not that I know the answer because it was in the class. Well, it's nice it was in the class, but it's in my heart. Do I believe it? Because I can see it from the Scriptures. Like the folks in Berea. It says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the ones that were causing trouble in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and then searched the Scriptures whether these things were so. And so that's, you know, a lot of what we do. That's why we read the Bible a lot. That's why we study it. We take a class. We review things. But if anybody wants to borrow this, happy to loan it to you if you're interested in the topic. And because I just did a little review. This gets into a lot of Scriptures on the topic. So, all I know is we're getting gathered, hopefully today. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and how it makes plain not only the present, but the future as well. And that, Father, we can, as you so graciously told us earlier, live with your peace and not be frustrated by anything going on, because you are our sufficiency. And we so look forward to and wait for the day you send your Son from heaven to gather us together. So thanks for this time we've had in your word. Please bless everyone that's here, those that are on the hookup, and those that couldn't be here. And Father, may we have a wonderful week ahead, rejoicing that we are going to be gathered together. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.